What's up, people? It's your boy D-Raw coming to you with another episode of the Houston Sports Connoisseurs podcast. Hey, don't forget to seek, listen, and learn to be a sports connoisseur just like me, your boy D-Raw, the connoisseur. Hey, man. Today we're going to be covering the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs, and many other sports and teams throughout the city of Houston, as well as that boxing match with Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. For those that have seen it, you already know this is going to be comedy. But first, man, I really want to get on those Houston Texans uniforms. Them things was icy. They was nice. The red, the white, the blue, the H-Town blue with the black uni, you know, the black helmet with the H on the side, that blue. Ooh, bro. And then you had that red that was just sparkling it, and within that black, that was fresh. You know what I'm saying? And then it's just so many, like, unique patterns they could put together with the uniforms that just make them so special. Now, overall, you know, me being biased, I feel like the Texans did introduce the best new uniforms. You know, the Lions had new uniforms, the Broncos and the Jets. I know those three teams had new uniforms. I don't know if anybody else did, but I feel like the Lions was cool, but it was still too traditional. They added a few, you know, tags to their thing to make it more city-like or Motor City Love or something like that. The Broncos tried to do the same thing with the 5,280 feet or whatever. But nothing is like H-Town. You know, it's just the home of the players and pimps, you know, like they like to say. It's just different, though, just from the introduction of the uniforms and just everything. And just to throw that old love your blue back into the unis, you know, to show some kind of city pride. A lot of people talk about the Oilers and that we want to be the Oilers and things like that. That's not true. It's just that color has been with the city before the Oilers even existed. That color was on police cars. That color is in the city flag and much more. Like, that color resembles what Houston is. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the city. So that color should have stayed with the team from the jump. The Titans should have never even took that. The Titans should have been their own identity. Understand they was the Oilers. They moved to Tennessee, though. They should have moved to Tennessee, became the Titans, and found their own identity from their own city. You know, things like that. But that's just my opinion on all that. Moving on, let's just talk about this NFL draft. So, it's a lot of talks, you know, about who's going first, who's going second, things like that. It's really hard to really say who's going to be the best. But I can tell you this, from my point of view, I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be the best quarterback in the draft for years to come. I think he's going to be the first quarterback taken off the board for Chicago, but he's not going to be the best quarterback. I haven't seen anything necessarily special about Caleb that really makes him stand out beyond the other quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, I mean, he's smart, you know, but what is really special about him to really make you say, oh, he's just a no-brainer number one pick? He's a no-brainer overall, better than Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., you know, and many more. Like, it's nothing really special about him. And then the second quarterback possibly taking off the board going to Washington could be Drake May, or it could be Jaden Daniels. But Drake May, I'll be honest, like, Drake May, I feel like he has all the tools to be the best quarterback, you know, in the NFL. Well, not in the NFL, but, you know, out of this class. He has a nice arm. He's done some things that's been very elite like, but also I say Jaden Daniels got the most explosive ability to really do something potentially bigger than all of them. I mean, he has the track-like body. He's explosive. He's fast. We've seen him improve potentially a hell of a lot over, you know, the prior college seasons he's had at LSU. And putting him possibly in a Denver Broncos system working with Zach Wilson, it could be a good thing for them. You know, I don't know. But I like what Jaden Daniels could possibly bring to the NFL. but he has to really listen to his mentor, because all the abilities that he have is athletic. Those intangibles can be torn down over time, and then eventually you will have an injured quarterback and you'll be looking for another quarterback because your quarterback wants to use his legs more than his arm. So Jaden, my advice to you, man, is to really get comfortable at being in the pocket. You know what I'm saying? Use your legs when you really need to. Don't use them just to always be that weapon, because that weapon is going to actually sit you on the sideline. Look at Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he has an MVP season. Yeah, he's had some good seasons, you know, since he's been in the NFL. But Lamar Jackson probably played, what, a quarter of his games each season because he's always been hurt. I think last season was actually his first season where he's actually been healthy the whole time throughout. So those are major things you got to look at, you know. Another quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy, he's going to probably come out in the first round, but I think he's going to fall a little bit to somebody possibly like the Raiders or something. But if I was the Raiders, if Michael Penix is still there, I'd rather take him. Michael Penix, to me, has the most sure fire arm out of every quarterback in this draft. Yeah, he's been in college for, what, 6 years? I understand. He's had some injuries. I understand. But I just think from what I've seen from Michael Penix, he's a surefire quarterback. I don't know how high his ceiling is, though, but he's improving. He has improved from where he started at, with Nebraska or something, to Washington or whatever the case may be. Now going to the NFL and being a top 25 or top 15 pick in an NFL draft. And it's possible that he might even drop to the second round. If he does, that's a big steal for anybody that's going to grab him. So if they want to do that, you know, if the NFL teams allow him to drop that far, they crazy. But Michael Penix Jr. could really be the next guy to me. Looking past that, man, the receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's going to be a special receiver. He should be the fourth pick taken off the board going to Arizona, but I've been hearing some things that Arizona might possibly make that trade and trade down. But if they do that, then they're going to really miss out on Marvin Harrison Jr., because whoever gets there is definitely going to take him, unless for some reason they just see that Marvin Harrison isn't living up to the potential that he was possibly, you know, going to be at first or whatever. But Malik Nabers, he's going to follow right behind Marvin Harrison, or he's going to go right ahead of him. I think it's potentially a chance that we see three receivers taken right after three quarterbacks are taken. Rome Odunze, I feel like Rome Odunze or Rome Odunze, I'm not really sure how you say his name, but I feel like he is going to be the one receiver with the most work ethic out of the first round. Out of those three receivers, I think he's going to work the hardest. Did you see his NFL combine? Bro just couldn't quit. Like the three cone drill, he kept on having a goal that he wanted to get past, and he just kept trying, attempt after attempt, attempt after attempt. So he's definitely going to be that guy, in my opinion. But I really would say that the first 10 picks of this draft is really going to be pretty, pretty interesting. And just the first round period is going to be interesting. Like, some of these teams, I really would like to know what they're going to do. You know, I don't know if the Texans will possibly trade back into the first round. I really don't see them doing that since they traded out of the first round. And if they do, it's really got to be somebody right there. But for them to, you know, trade back and then trade back up into the first, I just don't really see that happening unless they really get a good deal out of that, you know. With that being said, man, in that second round, though, that's when the Texans really going to come to life. You know, I really see them taking possibly a defensive tackle first, or even it could be even offensive, you know, like an offensive tackle or a receiver. I don't really see the receiver, though, because they just put so much into Stephon Diggs and hoping on him. But maybe third round, I could really see that possibly, you know, taking place. The Texans will have, what, two second round picks. So It could be a defensive tackle or an edge rusher or a linebacker in the second round. And then you probably could double back and probably go get you a DB. You know, I like what they did in the DB stance, you know, as far as, like, who they signed and things like that. I feel like some of them guys really going to, you know, step up and be big for the Texans this year. But I'll tell you this. The second round is a round where the Texans can really, really hit and really change the trajectory of this team. Now, they already got some solid, solid players, you know, like, that can really make some make something happen. But we're missing that defensive tackle position for sure. And, man, if you could just get that other X factor on the team, like offensive or defensive, whatever, that X factor, it just don't matter. Somebody else to really just put you over the edge that can come out of this draft in the second round. It's very possible. Like, you got to think Xavier Worthy will be available. Edrian Cooper will be available. You know, Roman Wilson. Like, these guys have really had great college careers. So, some of these guys, it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans picked one of them up and boom, you know, they hit the right nail on the coffin, you know. And I just think that can really happen. Second round could really be really good for the Texans. And you know, the more I think about it, that's probably why they traded back too. You think about it. They was at pick 23. They had a second round pick and they had a first round pick. It was a late 23. Probably whatever they was trying to get, they already knew it was going to be there in a second. So why not trade back to the second, save some money? Because, you know, a first round pick got to get so much salary, but it gets a lot less than a second round pick. So why not get a second? Now we got 2 seconds and it's still a lot of talent. A lot of teams, you know, they tend to get the best talent of the first round sometime in the first 10 picks. But to be honest, bro, like overall, like you look over the NFL, like for years, man, most of your talent really comes from second through five or second through six rounds, you know, like just the depth and the players that really make the plays, they usually don't really come out of the first round. And that's why I really think the Texans know what they're doing. And then you got to think what kind of guy Nick Caserio is from that Patriot organization. The Patriots have always found ways to find great talent, especially when he was there in the later rounds of the draft. They never was really picking up any big talent in the first round. It always came like rounds 4, 5, 6. So I look for the Texans to kind of do the same thing and take advantage of the second and third round. With that being said, man, I think the third round is going to really be special for the Texans as well, because this is a round that they can get a running back. You know, they can get something else on the defense or offense, just like keep stacking up. But like I said, it's like the Texans already stacked. So if you could just stack on top of that, man, if the Texans hit on this draft, we really can be talking about the Texans chasing the Lombardi. Yeah. You know, they got a high bid to possibly make it. But if they hit on this draft and they really improve, like I'm talking about, get another receiver, take Robert Woods off the team, somebody that can really take the top off a defense that can go deep like Xavier Worthy. We talking about a 4-2-1, bro. We talking about adding that to this Texan team. Don't let nobody like Miami, you know what I'm saying, sneak around. They have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Xavier Worthy. That ain't good. But if you can add that to Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs, bro, we talking about something very, very special. And I think the Texans would really fall in love with that. Another person I really want to talk about before I move on from this draft stuff, man, what if we can get Jonathan Brooks from Texas? You know, he's a damn great running back. He looked good. I seen him in person. He looked good, you know. I don't know what he looked like in his combine and stuff, but he looked good to me on the field in full action, full pads. And if we could just add another running back to that room, you know, somebody that can really be patient out the backfield, read the line the way they supposed to and hit their hole, man, and don't just, you know, one cut and boom and just run into the back of the lineman or whatever. Just be a smart back. We need somebody that's patient. DP ain't patient like that. DP is a one cut back. He, you know, he put his foot in the ground. He ready to go. That ain't what we need right now, DP. I love DP, and I keep saying it, man. I really hope DP get it right, because Dameon Pierce ain't making me happy. I got a jersey right now that's just useless. So, hey, but you know what? Them new jerseys came out, so it gave me a reason to go buy a new one. And I'm going to get somebody that I know is really going to make it. So, I'm looking forward to getting me a couple new jerseys, to be honest. Like, them boys fire. So, I want to talk about one sleeper in this draft, and then I'm done talking about the draft, because it's so much talent in here, and I really think this is going to be one of the better years for NFL drafts. Man. Luke McCaffrey is a special player. I keep going around, even when I'm in the gym or just talking to people in general, I keep telling them, like, man, Luke McCaffrey is going to be a special player. And I hope I'm really right. But looking at his older brother, McCaffrey got it all going. You know what I'm saying? Dude was scouted and brought into college football for the University of Rice as a quarterback. He went from quarterback to receiver. He went from just being possibly an average quarterback or decent quarterback to really being a great receiver. But they got him mocked at like the sixth round, you know. And I'm like, man, if the Texans can get him, it's a late pick. You put a chip on his shoulder. He got the DNA to be great. His father was great. His brother is great. It's all in him. It's all right there. It's right there. And Luke McCaffrey got it, I'm telling you. I really would hate to see the Texans skip out on some homegrown white boy down the street. You know what I'm saying? And you could bring him right here to NRG Stadium. Tavondre Sweat, I know a lot of us had him predicted to be drafted in the second round. But with the DUI, you know, the Texans don't pick up people that usually carry like bad names and did bad things. You know, if I see them get Tavondre Sweat, I'd be happy. He gonna have a lot to prove, because it's apparent that he has a drinking problem. He, you know, it's been stated he's done it before, and it's something that he's already kind of said, I was already trying to stop this or that. Nah, like, come on, bro, you got to get it together. I wouldn't mind the Texans getting him, but I don't think Houston is the place for him. Houston is a place that's going to really allow him to drink even more, hit the strip clubs, party like James Harden, you know, things like that. Nah, he need to go to a small market. He don't need to be in Houston. But he could be hell of a player. But that's just my opinion. Oh, and the last thing I want to say about this draft, I know I just keep on going back and forth about it, but let's get a safety like in the fourth round, fifth round, something like that, that can really just fly around, bro, and light people up. Put him next to Petrie. You know what I'm saying? Because I really don't expect, I'm going to be honest, I don't expect, what's the other safety? I can't remember his name. I don't expect Jimmy Ward to really just be healthy like that in this year to come. Just because he's, you know, aging. And then last year he didn't really have a good season as far as health. But he was good when he was on the field. But even then, hopefully he does be healthy. But it would be nice, bro. Nice to get somebody that just go out there and wreck shop. Fly around like their hair on fire, bro. Knocking wigs back. And I would just love that. Like, do y'all remember Bernard Pollard, how he played for the Texans? We need that right now. Somebody that'll just strike fear in a receiver when he try to come across that, you know, at that safety position. Or strike fear in a quarterback when he trying to throw that deep ball. Like, bro, Roy Williams kind of just knock a nigga down, bro. Just, bro. We need that. We need that aggression up there. That's what Petrie used to be, but I want someone with a little bit more size and some good speed just to come around and just smack bars. Smack them. Tell him. Let's do it. So, moving on. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. You know, my job is not to predict each game, but to predict each series. So let's just start it off like with the first round. You know, we had the Magic and the Cavs. We had the Suns and Timberwolves, Sixers and Knicks, Lakers and Nuggets. That's just on that Saturday. So, you know, the Cavs had won the first game against the Magic. And then they won the second game against the Magic. The Timberwolves beat the Suns twice. So the Timberwolves is up 2-0. The Knicks is up 2-0. The Nuggets is up with 2-0. Everybody's up kind of like 2-0. But everybody is now at the pivot point where the series really, really, really does start. Because now at this point, you got to go on the road, bro. You got to go get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really got to go prove yourself. We're still waiting to see what the Heat going to do against the Celtics, but everybody else kind of, like, proved their point. The Mavericks was lucky to pull off a game against the Clippers, which was very off, you know, especially considering how the first game went with the Clippers. Let's dig into that game, man. The Clippers and Mavs, bro, like, I expected it to be good. Doncic, Irving, Harden, Kawhi, PG, who am I missing? Westbrook, like, bro, Zubac, like, the Clippers got a squad. And really, for them to come out and play like they did game one, it was like, whoa, that's an old vintage James Harden. Step back three, you got Westbrook hitting threes, dunking on people. He getting agitated, so he getting more even competitive. Like, man, game one was fire for the Clippers. Game two, it was like, what happened? Makes seem like game one was more of an anomaly, but the Mavericks were just better in that game, and they kind of proved why both teams are fourth and fifth seed. So I'm looking forward to seeing a more competitive series, but I'm also looking to see Kawhi get his win back. Because once Kawhi get going, I just don't think the Mavericks really have a chance against this Clippers team. But it's the Clippers. It's not the first time they had a lot of talent, all these stars on one lineup, and they really just blew it big, you know. Like, think about it, like when they had Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and all them other boys that was part of that squad, you know. They had a chance, and they just could not get over the hump. So we're going to see what this Clippers team do this go around. But if I was to make a prediction, I'm going to take the Clippers in this series over the Mavs. I think it's going to be 4-2. 4-2 is going to go six games. Clippers going to finish them. In the Eastern game with the Pacers and the Bucks, they split as well 1-1. And the Pacers came through. Siakam had an amazing game. Still haven't seen the best of Tyrese Halliburton. But Dame Lillard still came out and balled again like he did in the first game in game two. But he didn't have that supporting cast that he needed in game two. But I tell you what, I'm taking the Bucks to go all the way. Honestly, it's going to be 4-2 as well. I think the Bucks win 4-2. They go 6-game series. Pacers get 2 out of it. Unless Tyrese Halliburton start looking like a different kind of player, I don't really see this going 7 games, you know. And I don't know how long Giannis is going to be out, but if Giannis was to come back, then the Pacers are in trouble, and this would be like a gentleman's sweep 5-1. I mean, 4-1, my bad, 4-1. So, yeah. Timberwolves, Suns, it's 2-0. Both teams are highly talented. Anthony Edwards, and what's my boy on the inside, the Frenchman, I can't remember his name right now. Like, the Timberwolves got some talent, you know what I'm saying? And Mike Conley, bro, like, everybody always, like, overlook him. Mike Conley is a special kind of player. He's been special since he's been in the NBA, and it's just crazy that he's so overlooked. To be honest, bro, these guys got like a big four right now, the Timberwolves. And the Suns got a hell of a squad, but for some reason, they just can't get it together. Devin Booker don't be looking like the same kind of player. He cried too much. KD sometimes be showing his age. And Bradley Beal, he really, really, really just don't be looking impressive sometimes. And then just KD just be out there looking demoralized, bro. Like, you got to get it together, man. The Suns might be done, bro. I get them a game five, man. It's going to be 4-1 Timberwolves. I think the Wolves is really going to go to Phoenix and really take control of things. Hope I'm wrong, but that's what it's looking like. Let's talk about some of them other series, though. You got the Heat and Celtics. I know they 1-0 right now. The Celtics up. And honestly, to be honest, I don't really see the Heat winning any games without Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler is out for the season and out for the playoffs, the Heat can kiss this postseason goodbye. Celtics going to win this 4-0. Pelicans and Thunder. Man, the Pelicans been on fire, but without Ingram really having a big game and really stepping up while Zion Williamson is out, I really just don't see the Pelicans pulling this series off. But if Zion come back, this could really be an upset for the Thunder. The Thunder could really go down if Zion come back. I really, really hope to see Zion back. I know they say that he got to sit out for a while. His knee is not as bad as it was before, things like that. But, man, if he can just ever put the money into his body, eat right and things like that, Zion could be hell of a baller. Hell of a baller. But, man, SGA, he's looking like the MVP that he is. He took control of game one. I expect him to take control of game two. The Thunder is going to advance to the second round. I'm going to go with the gentleman sweep as well, unless the Pelicans really start hitting their shots. Like, I don't know what else to really say about that team. They really, really need Zion to really win this series. Otherwise, they could kiss postseason goodbye. Honestly. So, let's talk about the big game. Big game James. King James. You know, man, Lakers. Down 0-2. Or they down 2-0. But, you know, the Nuggets got the 2 and they got the 0. Jokic balling. Anthony Davis getting raped. He just allowing anybody to get whatever they want on him. Pick and roll, boom. Pick and roll, pop. Like, damn, Davis, somebody got to get on the line. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on, AD? You better off being on the street, on the side, bro. I did say the street, yeah. Street clothes, you know, that's your name. Man, AD got to do better on the defensive end. He was up there talking about he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. He didn't look like it the other night. LeBron gave it his all once again, but I think what it really is, bro, with LeBron is just that the age is catching up. D-Lo played a hell of a game, you know, but, man, it's just not enough. Like, they got the talent. They got the veterans, bro. And just maybe they just ran into the wrong team. But you know what? I think this series is really going to go 7 games, though. We know what kind of player LeBron is. We know what kind of player AD is. They're hell of a tandem. And then they got the supporting cast to really go deep. And the one thing about this series is that it's really going to begin now that it's in L.A. And if they can pick up 2 wins in L.A., this series could be 2-2 going back to Denver. So don't be surprised if you see the Lakers pull off a couple games at home, because I expect them to, because of the kind of player LeBron's supposed to be. We expect that out of him. And if he don't give us what we expect, you know, through our expectations, the Lakers going to be at home. But, you know, last time they met, the Lakers got raped. They got robbed. They got dragged. And they was done. So, hey, we're going to see what the Lakers do. But right now, Denver looks to do the same thing they did last year and the year before. And, you know, they that team right now. The New York Knicks, man. Jalen Brunson been playing his ass off. Joel Embiid, he hurt his Joel Embiid hurt his knee, and it seems to me that he's been afraid to really move on his knee. He's been gingerly moving around the court, about everything, you know. And then it's crazy, bro. Like, he hurt his knee on what, his sixth dunk of the year or something like that, or 10th dunk of the year. Like, this guy hasn't dunked that many times out the year. And it's crazy because the dude, what, 7'2", 7'4"? Well, I don't know how tall Embiid is. I just know he's hella tall. And he ain't dunked that many times. But when he did, he put a nigga in the net. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did something crazy. But, man, Embiid, bro, you got to just stick to your game, bro. And just continue to step up, because Tyrese Maxey really been carrying that team. And it's just really sad to see that Philly is down 2-0. The way I looked at this game, I mean, looked at those games, Philly really could have won either one of those games. At least, this series should be tied up 1-1. But now they're going to Philly. They're down, you know, Philly's down, but they're going to be at home, and they could possibly tie up this series. It's another series that can be a 7-game series, but it's really, really about this game 3, because you know ain't nobody coming back for no 3-0, man. So I look to see Philly really grab game 3 and really get back into the fight. The Cavs and Magic. I think the Magic going to get swept. And the reason I say that is because Paolo Banchero, he's young. The rest of them players is young. This is their first time being in the playoffs. They really don't have a lot of experience for the playoffs. But this is Donovan Mitchell time, baby. You know, I'm a fan of Spider Mitchell. And I really like to see them succeed. Also, the Cavs, bro, they really got a squad. Like, they pretty deep, man. They got the bigs. They got the guards, you know, the front and the back court. It's all solid. I just don't understand why they're not, you know, better than what they are. Yeah, they dominate the Magic, but they should be better than what they are. You know, I want to see more from Donovan Mitchell, though. I want to see him take his game to another level in the playoffs. I want to see all them guys just kind of succeed, excel, because I feel like the Cavs really got a team. But if they don't figure it out in this playoff year of 2024, I feel like Donovan Mitchell is going to be a goner. He's going to be gone somewhere else to a bigger market, which he should. That's the one thing that's holding Donovan Mitchell back to me at this point. If he was in Houston, bro, he would be all over, like all over the TV by now. But since he only been in Utah and he's been in Cleveland, he's one of those players that's great but overlooked. So I really like to see Donovan Mitchell make that move in the offseason. You know, me personally. Moving on, man. I think the Cavs is going to just move ahead and probably, I think the Magic get one game. So I'll say it's going to be a gentleman's sweep 4-1. Game 5, you know, Cleveland going to do them in, and that's that. I think I already covered everybody, all the games. So everybody else should be good, man. But you got my prediction. You see where I'm going with everything. But now, if I was to choose who I think is going to make it to the championship right now, so tough, bro. Because the West is so hard right now. It's so many teams, so much depth on each team. But I'm going to ride with the Clippers. And on the Eastern side, if Giannis don't come back, I gotta ride with the Celtics. I mean, just to see, there's a big difference between the Celtics and the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference as far as season wins, and their dominance is very, very protruding. So I'm gonna ride with the Celtics. Celtics and Clippers in the finals. That's my bet. That's what I think. Don't go with what I'm saying, though. But that's what I think. Because you really never know with the Clippers. Like I said, they got a lot of personalities, too. And all those personalities could really, really fold a team such as them. moving on. We got UFL talk. United Football League, you know, is week 4 going into week 5 now. The Houston Roughnecks have finally got a victory. They won against the Arlington Renegades 17-9. Congratulations. They finally did it. 17-9 victory. I really like what I've seen from this team this go around. They looked a little bit better, but man, I'm gonna be honest. I really don't like CJ. What's his name? CJ Johnson as a head coach. I feel like he's a good position coach. He's a hell of a coach for Andre Johnson, whatever the case may be. But head coach, sometimes he just seems like he don't know what the hell he's doing, you know. And he be asking the players, "Oh, you want to do this? You want to do that?" It's like, who's running this? Who's running this team? Who's the head coach, bro? Like, let's figure it out. But hey, a victory's a victory. And I'm always happy to beat down on Dallas because I don't like the city. You heard it from me. All right. So I actually want to talk about the next week game, though. The Houston Roughnecks will be taking on the Birmingham Stallions. The Stallions are 4-0, Roughnecks 1-3. Can the Roughnecks pull off another victory? To be honest, to be fairly honest, I really, really don't think so. But I would like to see the Roughnecks get this victory, considering that they will be at home. Hopefully, they have a better turnout than they had this past game, since they did get their first victory. And let's see. You know, it's a night game. It's a Saturday night game. So, they get some sunshine late in the evening. They get some you know, some lights on them helmets, man. And they get a little primetime action right on Fox. So, looking forward to seeing the Roughnecks really play big, play better. Hopefully, they learn from their mistakes and possibly get a victory. But, like I said, Stallions 4-0. They was a damn good team last season, and they're a damn good team this year. Roughnecks was the old Gamblers. Terrible team. I don't see us getting this victory, but let's look forward to 2-3. All we got to do is win another one, baby. WNBA draft. I know a lot of people looked at it. A lot of people didn't look at it. But Caitlin Clark was the first pick overall. First pick overall, getting paid about $70,000 a year. She didn't want to take that $5 million from our boy Ice Cube to come play in the Big Three. She entered the WNBA draft, got the little man money. But guess what? She got a hell of a shoe deal. Nike paid her for like 6 years, $28 million. But we already knew she was gonna get that. So my thing is, Caitlin Clark, why didn't you just take Ice Cube money? Why didn't you just go to the Big Three? Because you could have got that $5 million. Plus the $28 million instead of take 76 some thousand. Now, granted, Caitlin will put the WNBA on the TV more. Angel Reese, she was picked at the 7th pick. And she's partnering with Camila Cardoso. This is actually a little exciting because Angel Reese is a power forward. Camila Cardoso is a center. You think about that front court, bro. It's going to be crazy, crazy for those two to be going, you know, from two dominant teams, LSU, South Carolina, two teams that they played against each other for several years of college basketball, to now playing together for the Sky in Chicago. It's going to be a hell of a tandem just in the paint all together. And, you know, I don't really know their measurements. Cardoso, 6'7". So, if Cardoso about 6'7", and then you probably add a 6'3 Angel Reese in there. They got some height. They got some body. And they got some people that can really just get a bucket when they need to easily. And I think Chicago is going to really be a problem. Everybody going to be watching, you know, to see what Caitlin Clark do, of course. But really, the game is really about to change for her because it's going to be a whole bunch of girls in the WNBA that have been balling and doing things special for years. And they finna lock Caitlin Clark up. So I hope she enjoy her high while she's got it. That's my opinion on that. Devin Haney. Ah! Ryan Garcia. Bro, Haney got his ass smacked. He did all that complaining about them 3 pounds, man. Them 3 pounds got his ass mollywopped. That $1.5 million that he was so worried about getting because Ryan Garcia came in 3 pounds overweight. He got his ass mollywopped. And to be honest, if I was Ryan Garcia, I would have did the same thing. He beat the 1.5 out of him, and then he betted on himself, and he got the money back plus some. Plus, he made the nation realize that Haney ain't better than him, and he beat him at his own game. What Ryan Garcia said, he said, "I beat the weight bully at his game." He was the bully this time. Because supposedly, you know, they do their weigh-ins whenever, and then later down the line, they actually have the fight, and they weigh in again. But by that time, it really doesn't matter, as long as you meet your weight. So once they met the weight, Garcia was like 160. No telling what Haney was. He could have been 160-something, too. They didn't even state how much he weighed. But he whooped that ass. And he picked him apart round for round. First round, he jumped right on him. Boom. You know what I'm saying? He already got that boy in the days. Now, I say this. Garcia, he did some whole shit, you know, with the little back turn. But it was a smart turn. You know, now, I ain't gonna lie. That boy Haney was tearing them kidneys up, bro. He was tearing them kidneys up. But he got his. You know, all them little fights he done had where, like the Lomachenko fight where he got away with it. Nah, bro, you couldn't get away with this one. He got put on that pussy three times. Hey, Haney didn't fought somebody then gave him his match. You know what I'm saying? He didn't met his match. That's what I'm trying to say. He has met his match with Ryan Garcia. He didn't want to give him the belt because of the 3 pounds, but that's all right. You gave up a whole lot more, bro. You gave up a whole lot more, and now you're going to have to fight him again? Bro. That's going to be tough. But you know what? I think it's going to be an even better fight the next time. Hopefully Garcia don't come out, you know, overhyped and stuff like that. But I really would like to see Ryan Garcia against Tank at this point. With the new training, the new mindset. Man, Garcia looked totally different, bro. That boy was hopping around, geeked up like he was on a drug or something. And he was taking names and kicking ass, bro. Taking names and kicking ass. And that's exactly what he did to Haney, his crew. Like, I ain't gonna lie, man. Haney daddy should have been took him out of that fight. He should have been through the white flag. It was over. He had no chance. And the fact that when they got down to the end of the fight and they started making their decisions, bro, the judges really was gonna have, one of the judges actually said it was a tie. Come on. No way. No way it's a tie, dog. You got knocked down 3 times. You ain't had no chance. You ain't never, I would say, Haney probably won a couple rounds out of that fight. A couple. It was a couple rounds where Ryan Garcia really wasn't fighting. Because I was complaining. I was like, man, come on, bro. Y'all just going to dance. I mean, if you want to give Haney those rounds, cool. He was probably the better dancer. But beyond that, like, Haney had no shot in this fight, bro. He got dominated. With that being said, I don't know if anybody watched the undercard, the championship fight before the Haney and Garcia fight. I think the dude was named Barbosa, and I can't remember the other guy's name. It was a white guy, but they was fighting, and the white guy was tearing Barbosa ass up the whole fight, picking him apart. Round for round. And then we get to the end of the fight. The judge is going to sit up there and say that Barbosa is still a champ. There was no way. There is no way this guy is still a champ after he got his ass picked apart for 12 rounds, bro. They got to do better with that. I don't know who needs to be judging. I don't know if the cartel or the mafia or somebody still be dealing with who wins fights and stuff like that. But they probably need to put a robot in there, bro, and let them just judge. Hell, I think it's pretty possible because you play a boxing game and the computer summarizes who the winner is that way. Shit, just put the same information in. Let the computer figure it out. Because these fools, I don't know what kind of fight they be looking at. Somebody need to mollywop their ass too. Ah! Moving on, man. The Astros. Another team getting mollywopped in Houston. The Astros are last in their division. They're not last in MLB, Major League Baseball, but I don't know what happened, but they need to start spending money. I keep saying that. They need to go get some relief pitching. The starters are fine. I understand that there's guys that are hurt that are starting pitchers, but those guys are not going to stop the pain once they get out of the game. The Astros have been in place to win many of these games where they've been up 4 runs, 6 runs, or 5 runs. Once the starter comes out of the game, that's when the problem starts. You have Presley out there relief pitching. You know, just like Brown, Hunter Brown, he's horrible right now. You have some of these other guys that's coming up from the farm field. I mean, the farm system, AAA, AA, coming in and pitching, saying they top prospects, and they not playing like one. The Astros going to have to make some trades, spend some money while they can. It's not too late. It's the perfect time. And it's still very early in the season. But they adding up a lot of L's. A lot of L's. And the thing about baseball is they can have a bad season. They can get the top 4 pick, 3 pick, or whatever. But that guy is not going to be ready to play Major League Baseball right away. It's not like football and basketball. That dude is going to have to sit in the farm system for years before he's even ready to play. And by that time, the Astros have passed their championship window. They're still in the championship window right now. They have the best batters in the league, some of the best on-base percentage right now. They got some of the best defenders, you know, in the outfield, infield. But, man, if they can get the relief pitching back together, they can really go far. But I can promise you this. Without the relief pitching, the Astros, I just don't see. I don't see them making the playoffs. It's possible. It's very early. It's only April. It's almost May. But by June, if they ain't above 500, you can kiss this season goodbye. Because relief pitching is very important. Relief pitching was the problem with them last season. Even though they didn't pay the relievers that they had, it was a big issue last year. Those relievers they had last year was a whole lot better than what they got this year. The starters was kind of hurt last year as well. But with you getting them all back, you should be back on the right page. Now, the other question goes out to Joe Espada. What is Joe Espada doing? Is he making the best decisions, you know, in game and things like that? But to be honest, like, look at the hand that he's dealt. Joe Espada can't do no better than anybody else. He couldn't do no better than Dusty Baker if Dusty Baker was there. That's why Dusty Baker went ahead and retired. He's seen this dumpster fire coming because the Astros don't like to spend money. Bro, they have made it to the ALCS, what, 7, 8 times these last 7, 8 years out of 10 years or whatever? The Astros have been competitive since, what, 2015? And you can't tell me they ain't got enough money to go sign a star player. They need to start spending the money. I don't understand why Crane is so tight on his pocket, bro, but he need to open up the pocketbook. He tripping. They are a dynasty, and he's just letting them slip away. And every time they get a star player or a good player, they always let them just go. You think about it. George Springer, Carlos Correa, all those relievers they just lost. Like, it's always something. And then you go sign somebody like Jose Abreu, who ain't doing shit. He can't hit a ball. Hell, they might as well put me up to the plate. Can't say he's convinced, but it looks like... Oh, this one blasted deep to left. Way back there on its way out of here. This dude only got, like, what, 2 hits so far for the season? They done played how many games? They done played about, what, 25 games already? He got 2 hits? And he going up to the plate at least, what, 3 times? Man, get the fuck out of here, bro. Talk about he's a big leaguer. He need to retire. The other thing is, let's just get on to college football. I'm tired of the damn transfer portal. It's the most inventive bullshit they could have came up with. They should go back to the old portal, because this new portal, it allows young athletes to avoid harsh environments or a harsh system. Like, anytime you feel uncomfortable, you get uncomfortable, you know, as a player, a coach tell you something or make you feel a certain kind of way, you're going to just say, fuck it, I'm going to hit the transfer portal. That's not cool, bro. And then you come right out of high school and you making millions of dollars. I like that. That's a good thing, you know, because the colleges make so much money off these college athletes. But it should be some kind of control system on how much money they, you know, give you at a time or somewhere. Sign you to a small deal and give you the rest when you're done or something like that. Like, I shouldn't see an 18-year-old that just signed to the University of Houston or University of Texas or whatever, riding down the street in a goddamn cyber truck. And then he got three Rollies and a big ass mansion. And then 4 years later, if he go to college for 4 years, he's broke. You know what I'm saying? Like, something, somebody got to offer him some kind of advice. It's a good idea, but it's a hell of a bad idea. And I think it all starts with the transfer portal and the NIL. The NIL needs to make the players sign a contract to stay at a certain school for so long before they reap the benefits of getting that money. So the players don't just be jumping from school to school. The Houston Cougars got Sam Brown, he transferring. Michael Pilot, he transferring. Sam Brown was one of the top receivers in the Big 12 last year. Top receiver for the U of H Cougars. And he hitting the portal for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't even know if the portal set up. It's so crazy now. The portal could be set up to an extent to where the coaches could feel like they're not a good fit for the roster. So they tell the player, hey man, you should go ahead and transfer. So hop in the portal. We don't need you no more. That shit sucks too. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's right, but do something about it. Like, all this shit. These coaches moving around, I understand. The coaches moving around, the players should move around too. But damn, you ain't got to move around all willy-nilly and shit. 1 year you at USC, next year you at UT, then next year you at fucking TSU. Like, come on, bro. Like, what's going on? Where's your career going? You just playing just anywhere just to say, man, I played here, I played there. Like, prove yourself. Do something. Like, it's so many different roads these players take to get to the NFL. Then when it's time to get to the NFL, you don't want to participate in the NFL combine. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. Like, what the hell? What the hell is going on? And I know a lot of these things have been going on for years, you know, players, parents being in control and talking for them and shit. Man, once you get 18, bro, stop letting your daddy talk for you. Your daddy ain't out there playing. Don't let him talk for you. Your daddy put you in bad positions and shit. Like, what's his name? The running back for Colorado. His daddy going on Instagram and Twitter talking about, oh, my son deserved to be number one. My son deserved to have a starting spot, this and that. Yo, your son don't deserve to be nothing, bro. Like, he got to earn it. I understand he put in the work, but you can't just go on Twitter and be all willy-nilly and talking about, he deserved this, he deserved that. Shit, well, guess what? I deserve $1 million too, goddammit. But I'm not going to get it just because I said it. You know what I'm saying? You got to have somebody to control your media campaign or something. Like, especially when y'all start making all that money. Like, think about it. Be smart. That's all I could say. Moving on. I want to talk about the Houston Dynamo. You know, I always like to show a little love to the Houston Dynamo. And it's because they in the city, you know. Like, all the Houston teams get love from me. Dynamo currently, they in a pretty good position. They 4-1-3, so they got, Four wins, one tie, and three losses. They ain't too bad, ain't too shabby. Last year they was in the playoffs. They went, I think, a couple rounds into it. So hopefully when they face off against Dallas on April 27th, they whoop their ass. Like I said, I don't like the city. So smack them. Overall, man, that's all I really got to say today, people. Thank you for listening. Thank you for looking. Show me some love. Like, share, subscribe. Also, go check out my clothing. I got shirts, socks, and whatever else you like to wear, man. Like, it's all there. I even got it there for your babies, too. So, show some love, and I'll show it back to you.